the business. Amen.
Amen. Okay, so Romans chapter 4, what a great chapter of the Bible Romans 4 is. We're going to look at the first five verses again of Romans 4. Romans 4 and verse 1 reads, "What shall we say then that Abraham, our father, pertaining to the flesh, hath found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is a reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness." And part of my sermon this morning is the two world religions. The two world religions. I'd like to pray before we continue. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for just how clear you make it about salvation and in chapters such as this and many others in the Bible. Lord, help everyone here to just, just listen to what your word's got to say. For many, it's just going to be a kind of refresher, recap, but for some, maybe it's something that they really need to think about and really need to understand and accept. Lord, please help me just preach this message just clearly, accurately, and boldly. Fill me with your spirit, please. Lord, help everyone to have attentive ears. Jesus' name, pray all of this. Amen. Okay, keep a finger here in Romans 4, or keep something there, a ribbon, something else, a bulletin, and turn over to Matthew chapter 7, please. Matthew chapter 7. Many head buriers and God avoiders will say something like this: "Well, there's so many religions out there, which one do you choose?" Anyone heard something like that before? Most of you will have heard something like that. If you've gone out trying to preach the gospel, you're going to hear something like that. And most of the time now, I like to point this out pretty early on as a sort of icebreaker with it, that there really aren't really many religions out there. In fact, you can pretty much boil it down to two religions, can't you? There are two religions in the world. There is grace through faith alone, in terms of when it comes to religions and the goal of salvation. And let's be honest, most religions teach some sort of heaven or hell, some version of heaven, some version of hell. And you've got grace through faith alone, like we've just read about. And then you've got pretty much all the other religions in the world. And all the other religions in the world will teach you some version of your good deeds will get you to some version of heaven, and your bad deeds will get you to some version of hell. And sometimes their version of heaven is something completely bizarre, like reincarnation until you just are extinguished. That's a bit of a bizarre version, but again, it's to reach this sort of spiritual high until you eventually no longer exist. And I'm talking about Buddhism there. But for most, it's some version of what we would know of as heaven. And then the opposite is some version of what we know of as hell. And that's pretty much everything. If you think about Islam, what does Islam teach? It's pretty much the five pillars. They try and be a bit of a copy of Christianity and say about merciful Allah and things like this. But when you boil it down, what's his mercy based on? Their good deeds. Yeah, the same with Hinduism. You go, well, but there's a million different gods in Hinduism. I mean, which one does that? But what does it all come down to? Serve and worship and be good in whatever version, you know, of God you're choosing to worship, whether it's the rat god, the cow god, or any other bizarre god. And what does it come down to? Well, if you're good enough, you go to some version of heaven, if they believe in that and not the reincarnation, which again is just you get better reincarnations until some sort of spiritual Mecca, you know, depending on, you know, and when I say Mecca, I know that's your Islam, but that sort of version of some sort of high, some sort of great place you can get to. Different flavors. Versions of Christianity, which one's the truth? So many interpretations
of the Bible, they try and say, but again, you could boil it down to two choices, really: works or faith. Yeah. And that's what it comes down to. And look, the Catholics, what do the Catholics believe in? Work salvation, seven sacraments. They believe in working your way to heaven. The Orthodox Church, it's similar. The Anglican, similar. The Pentecost, it's all work salvation, isn't it? In one way or another. Now, some are a bit more subtle. Some will claim faith, 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 it's belief. But when you really ask them, then it's down to what? And I've got to be good. And I've got to do this. And I've got to do that. Even atheists, you're going, well, okay, they're all the real. What about an atheist? Well, The atheists, I noticed a lot that when you talk to them about heaven and hell, they'll go, well, if there's a heaven or hell, I'm a good citizen, I'm a good person, why wouldn't I go there? Because what's the truth? Well, Romans 1 tells us the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. Even his what? Eternal power and Godhead, so that they're without excuse. You know, deep down, have you ever noticed when you go and preach the gospel, deep down, most people just accept heaven and hell, don't they? Because deep down, we have an innate knowledge of his eternal power. And it is eternal, isn't it? Because it's eternity in heaven or eternity in hell. And deep down, we know it. You've got to be pretty hard-hearted to get to the point where you just completely reject all that innate knowledge to the point where you claim, I don't believe no such thing, no way at all. And a lot of them will go, well, if there was. And ultimately, well, I still think I'm a good enough person. It's the same thing, isn't it? That's what they're saying. And like I said, then you've got the Christianity. And then amongst the so-called grace through faith type of churches, you've still got two kinds, haven't you? So you've got all these Christian versions, which, sorry about that, guys. We've still got these Christian versions which believe that there's some sort of, well, you know, you've got to at least do this. You've got to at least do that. And then you've got the ones that claim grace through faith. They'll even say, oh, yeah, it's faith alone. And then they'll add a little bit of works, won't they? They'll add a little bit of repent of your sins, a little bit of turn away from sin, a little bit of you can lose your salvation, one or the other. And ultimately, it comes down to two religions. They're all still the other religion. They're all still you can work your way to heaven. In one way or another, you have to keep working your way to heaven. You had to at least do some works. You have to at least do something. And then there's the gospel. And the gospel is it's grace through faith alone. And it really is as simple as that. It really is. I'm hoping today that look, for many here, you're going, look, this is old news, Brother Ian, but you know what? It's important news. But I'm hoping today as well that for some of you, maybe it'll strengthen you a little bit as well, because you're going to get times in life where you have the odd little doubt because the broad way is so broad. There's so many people trusting in their works in one way or another that you can feel a bit alone with this sometimes, can't you? But believe me, you've just chosen the right religion. There are only two religions. Look at Matthew 7, where Jesus points out the two religions. He says in verse 13, enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. That's the majority religion, isn't it? That's the majority. That's work salvation. That's what you'll see from one corner of the world to the other. That's what you'll see all over the world. You're going to see people trusting in works in one way or another. That's the broad way, okay? That's the broad way. And often, we've talked about this before, they do tolerate each other, don't they? So they will, a lot of these broad way, a lot of these majority other religions followers will say something along the lines of, well, you know, there's probably all different paths to God. It's all a different way, a different path, because ultimately they are all believing in work salvation. They tolerate other work salvationists. They've got no problem. Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, it's all every religion's a different path to God. Have you ever tried to point out to these people, well, what about Satan worship then? Or, you know, what about and come up with some really obscure religion? Because they don't really believe that, do they? However, any form of work salvation, they're happy with that, aren't they? Pretty much. Now, you've got that, and ultimately, by the way, they are all worshipping Satan, but that's another story, okay? Because he's behind all false religion. But they tolerate each other, and nowadays we're seeing that a lot more in the ecumenical movement, aren't we? So you're seeing just this movement of all sorts of interfaith. We buddy up with this guy, the Catholic priest buddies up with the Jewish rabbi. The Jewish rabbi buddies up with the Orthodox priest. The Orthodox priest buddies up with the Muslim imam. They're happy with each other because they're all work salvationists. And what they hate is someone going, no, there is only one way. Because Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And if you claim to believe the Bible, how can you ignore that? How can you ignore how clear the Bible makes it that there is only one way of salvation? It says here in verse 14, because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. And that's the other religion. That's the minority religion. That's a true religion. That's grace through faith alone. No works before, no works during, and no works after. Otherwise, it ain't grace through faith. It's grace through faith and your works. And that's work salvation. Now, many will say, well, how could so many people be wrong? How could the theologians, the professors, the celebrities, the popular people in many aspects of life, look at the popularity of these people, right? Look at the popularity of some of these mega preachers who are preaching, you've got to at least turn from sin, you've got to at least do this, you've got to at least do that. Well, my Bible says in 1 Corinthians 3:19, you'd have to turn there, for the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he taketh the wise in their own craftiness. It's foolishness. And it doesn't matter how many people slap each other on the back and tell each other how intelligent they are, how bright they are, what great thinkers they are, and everything else. It's foolishness with God. It's foolishness. And all of them, they're all trying to somehow have some part in playing, some part to play in earning salvation, aren't they? All of them. They're all trying to somehow have some way of going, but I've at least done this. I'm at least better than that person. I've at least achieved this. It's the other religion. And along with that, and to help you understand it more, because again, people get, they find this hard to fathom. Because you walk across a city like this, and how many people are preaching grace through faith? How many churches, how many religions are teaching grace through faith? I don't know of any others in this church. I really don't. Oh, wait a second, but this sounds like a cult now. No, it sounds like the straight gate and the narrow way. Because they're all adding some sort of works. And when you really question, they're all adding something. You go, well, how could that be? How could all those people be wrong? Well, those imams, those rabbis, those monks, those priests, those vicars, those pastors even, teaching that junk are false prophets. And the Bible says in 1 John 4:1, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits where they are of God, because many, many false prophets have gone out into the world. They're all over the place. The Bible says many have gone out. So is the Bible lying? No. The Bible says many have gone out into the world, which is why Jesus then gives us this warning here. In Matthew 7 and verse 15, he said, beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. They're ravening wolves. And depending on what your idea of how a sheep should look, there is sheep's clothing to suit most out there, isn't there? So look, a lot of people see sheep in different way. And maybe if you went across the world, you might see different types and breeds of sheep. And maybe in the colder climates, they're going to have maybe thicker wool. And maybe in other areas, they might not. Maybe in the more mountainous regions, they might be a bit more wiry built and stuff like that. And it's kind of the same in the secular world. These people, because ultimately that's what it is, by the way. It's a secular world. All these false religions, all these fake religions, all these people have their different ideas of what a sheep should look like. So for some, it's, you know, a long flowing dress, and they call it a cassock, I think. You know, for many, that's a good sheep's outfit. They're like, man, that must be a man of God. He's wearing a dress. And because they don't know the Bible. So they're like, yeah, that's a holy God. For others, it's wearing a kind of strange little collar thing in between instead of a tie. And for many, that's wow, that must be a religious person. For others, a lot of the time it's dresses. A lot of these religions like dresses, gowns, flowing dresses in one way or another. They like to enlarge the borders of their garments, don't they? So for many, it's some sort of holy outfit like that. Now, and we've also talked about this a lot before, is that for most of them, it's a special hat as well. So most people, it's like, well, I don't know about the rest of it, but as long as they got a special hat. And if the hat, it doesn't really matter what sort of hat, just some sort of special hat, they must be holy. They must be, for many, that's an effective sheep's habit. Now, for our sort of people, for people that know the Bible and read the Bible and want to go to a church where they're maybe giving some reverence, respect to God and everything else, look, many, many false prophets come with a suit, come in a dress, a skirt, you know, and they can be a bit harder to spot for many. Okay, for others, they're thinking false prophet because he's not wearing a dress. You know, and look, there's a flavour for everyone. But how do we spot them? How do we spot them then? Because look, they can dress the part, they can look the part, depending on what you think the part is. Well, verse 16 says, you shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Now keep a finger here and flick over to Matthew chapter 12. What are the fruits? What are the fruits? It's what comes out of your mouth. Okay, the fruits of these people is what comes out of their mouth. In Matthew 12:33, Jesus is responding to these reprobate Pharisees blaspheming the Holy Ghost. Okay, they're saying he has a devil. He shows them the choice between choosing that path of reprobation or not. He says in verse 33, either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt, for the tree is known by his fruit. O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in a day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Clearly referring to the words, to what comes out of your mouth. However, there are those that speak out of both sides of their mouth, and they're not. Many of us have come across these people. They'll claim grace through faith, grace through faith, grace through faith. 6 months later, oh yeah, you've got to repent of your sins. Oh, you've got to at least stop certain sins. You can't get saved if you do these sins. Again, you're thinking, well, wait a second. So how did that come out of their mouth? They can spend even many years seemingly saying the right things. How does that work? Well, ultimately, it's not good fruit coming out of their mouth. They're unable to get people saved with what comes out of their mouth. Okay, so it's not good fruit. Because what is that fruit? The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. What comes out is able to result in salvation. Okay, and they cannot get people saved. So they can look, you could get some reprobate off the street there, bring him in and go, look, I'll give you 20 quid if you read John 3:16. How did that come out of his mouth? Well, he's reading what the Bible says, right? But it's the fruit coming out of his mouth is not able to result in salvation. Okay, he could read that all day long to anyone. He could read it to the lowest hanging fruit. He could go up to someone in the street, he's walking down going, sir, what must I do to be saved? And that reprobate could come along and read John 3:16 to them, they cannot get them saved. And we've had that when we've had people here before, and now we're starting to hit similar areas again and talking to people that have previously had the gospel preached to them, low-hanging fruit have had the gospel preached to them by people that have been in this church, and people have questioned and said, oh, who was it? And they've given a description, and they ain't saved, okay? And they never got saved, and then they get saved after by someone who's actually saved preaching them the gospel, okay? Because, look, it's faith to faith, isn't it? However, back in Matthew chapter 7, Jesus tells us what will happen to these liars. What will happen to these liars? Now, ultimately, a lot of the time, what they really believe will come out of their mouth, but at least what they claim to believe and don't believe will never result in that tree of life. Verse 19 says, every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. And when it comes to the other religion, most of them are pretty open and forthright with their evil fruit, aren't they? Okay, so when it comes to most versions of the other religion, look, the Catholic priest, he's not even hiding it, is he? Okay, the imam isn't hiding it. Okay, the monk isn't hiding it. Okay, but it includes those that claim the name of Christ. So, like I said, the Catholic priest, but even many of these other guys are pretty open. However, there are also those that claim the name of Christ who are a little bit trickier, aren't they? And they claim to believe he's the Lord. They'll say things like, you know, the Lord Jesus Christ, I gave my life to Christ. They like that one, don't they? Or I made him Lord of my life. Or I chose to follow Jesus or something else. And you're like, right, let's see if it's bad terminology or if we need to dig a little deeper. He said in verse 21, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. And the false prophet will go, see, look, you've got to do everything God says. Well, who here is doing everything God says? Because I know I'm not. I know I get it wrong. Yeah, we all get it wrong, don't we? Yeah, we're all going to have days where we fail. We're going to have days where, look, we need to start afresh the next day. Yeah, in fact, look, there's not one person in the world that does everything that God wants them to do. Otherwise, they wouldn't need Jesus Christ. What's the will of the Father? 2 Peter 3:9 says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So it's God's will that we come to repentance, which is a change of mind to faith in Jesus Christ. That's God's will. God's will is that you put your faith in Jesus Christ. John 6:40 says, and this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I'll raise him up at the last day. Okay, so God's will is that we put our faith in Jesus Christ. That's God's will. Now, many, we've just seen, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is heaven. The will of the Father is that we get saved. So there are those that were called Jesus Lord, but they're not believing in Christ alone. They haven't repented from dead works to faith in Christ. Okay? These people, basically, they're calling him Lord, but they're still trusting their works. We're going to see that here. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name have done many wonderful works. What are they trusting? Their works. They're trusting their works. And it's amazing how many false prophets will use verses like this to go, see, look at the, you know, look, you might call him Lord, but you didn't do X, Y, and Z. No, they're trusting their works. They didn't do the will of the Father, which was get saved. Instead, they're going, look at everything I've done. Lord, look, now, who here, if they stood before Jesus, if they had to actually stand before him, who here, or on judgment day, is going to be going, yeah, but look at everything I've done. Look at me. Look at how great I am. Look at my works. Look at what I did in your name. I hope everyone here would be saying, but you promised all I had to do was put my faith in you. That's all I had to do is put my faith in you. So they're saying, but look, they're saying, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in our name? In our name have cast out devils. In our name have done many wonderful works. Now they call him Lord, don't they? Oh, they recognize that Jesus is the Lord, apparently. They've made him Lord. Is that enough? Well, verse 23 says, and then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. He never knew them. Okay? He didn't used to know them, and now, well, no, they've gone off the rails. No, he never knew them. Okay? He never knew them. These are workers of iniquity. These are the false prophets preaching in the name of Christ. They're calling him Lord, claiming to cast out devils, but they're trusting in their works. And there are only two religions. It's faith alone in Christ alone or its works. It's clear, isn't it? It's faith alone in Christ alone or its work salvation. It's trusting his works or your works. There's no combination. It's one or the other. Now turn to Psalm 9 whilst I read Romans 11:6. Romans 11:6 shows there is no combining the two. Romans 11:6 says, and if by grace, then is it no more of works, otherwise grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then is it no more grace? Otherwise, work is no more work. You can't combine them. It's one or the other. And look, if you're trying to combine them, if you're sitting there going, yeah, but, you know, I still think you've got to at least do a little bit of works, you need to get right. You need to get right quick. Because you're sitting in a church where you've been hearing this stuff preached for a long time. You've been hearing people go and preach that on the door. Look, there's only, for me, there's a point where you're going, right, I'm rejecting that. I'm rejecting the gospel. And it can get to the point where God's going to reject you. Okay, look, put your faith in Christ. It's one or the other. And this is constantly illustrated throughout the Old Testament, okay, by men choosing to worship the work of their own hands. This is the illustration we see in the Old Testament as opposed to the work of his hands. Okay, and that's what we see constantly. There's a picture of this. Psalm 9 and verse 1. Psalm 9:1 says to the chief musician upon Muthleben, a psalm of David, I will praise thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will show forth all thy marvellous works. Okay, it's all about God's marvellous works, not our own. By the way, that's David who's in heaven right now, as opposed to the wicked in verse 16, where it says, the Lord is known by the judgment which he executed. The wicked is snared in the work of his own hands. Higayon Salah. Okay. There's a difference, there's a contrast in the Bible between those that are trusting, that are putting faith in their own works, the work of men's hands, the idols, the graven images, all that sort of stuff, and those that have the faith in the work of his hands. Okay, and the ultimate work that he did was to come and die on the cross, to be buried and rise again to pay for your sins. That's what we're trusting in. So, turn to Jeremiah chapter 1, Psalm 92:4. Well, you turn to Jeremiah 1. Psalm 92:4 says, for thou, Lord, has made me glad through thy work. I will triumph in the works of thy hands. Because that's the difference. Are you triumphing in his works or are you triumphing in your works? And there's a lot of people out there claiming the name of Christ that are triumphing in their works, not his works. Psalm 107 and verse 8 says, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness. And for his wonderful works to the children of men. And you praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works, or for your own? Because a lot of people are praising really themselves for their own works, aren't they? Jeremiah 1 and verse 15 says, "For lo, I will call all the families of the kingdoms of the north." That's a lot of people, saith the Lord, "and they shall come, and they shall set every one his throne at the entering of the gates of Jerusalem, and against all the walls thereof round about, and against all the cities of Judah. And I will utter my judgments against them, touching all their wickedness, who have forsaken me, and have burned incense unto other gods, and worship the works of their own hands." That's what it's all about. It's the work of their own hands, what they've achieved, rather than what God has done. And by the way, that's the majority of religion. They said all the families of the kings of the north, that's the majority of people out there. They're not trusting what God has done for them, but instead they're trusting what they have done for God. Two religions: the majority religion that worships the works of their own hands, and the straight gate and narrow way, which is grace through faith alone, plus nothing, minus nothing. Go back to where we started in Romans 4. Now, I want to focus today on the more subtle versions of the other religion, okay? Because look, there's the obvious ones out there. There's all those false religions. Look, you got, I mean, some of them, they should just be a no-brainer for starters. So if someone really, and look, if someone seeks him, they will find him if they search for him with all their heart, okay? And if someone really wanted the truth, and look, that's not to say that everyone, we're not Calvinists here. We're not going, okay, well, if they want the truth, they're going to find it anyway. Might as well just put our feet up in between the services. Don't bother trying to reach anyone. No, that's not how it works. There's a lot of people that aren't seeking with all their heart, but they will listen to the gospel and get saved, okay? But there are people that will seek the truth. Okay, and those that seek it, look, if they really sought it with an open heart, and I don't care whether they're raised in it or not, I don't care whether they're in the Middle East somewhere, surrounded by mosques, surrounded by dress-wearing funny hat wearers, okay, look, if they really want the truth, are they really going to choose a religion where the prophet's a paedophile? He's a paedophile. Everyone knows he's a paedophile. Okay, he married a six-year-old, consummated at 9 years old. He's a paedophile. Okay, you follow that? Look, you're wicked. You're wicked. Now, you might be forced to follow it as a youngster, but it gets to a point where you get the choice whether or not you carry on going to a mosque and following basically a paedophile. Okay? That's done. Then you go, okay, well, what about Buddhism? It's a death cult. They're all just trying to seek eternal extinguishment. Okay? Ridiculous. And then they all about the reincarnation, all that stuff. Load of old nonsense. Okay? Pretty obvious. Now we're boiling it down a bit. Then you've got Hinduism, which kind of, look, they worship any god they can get their hands on. Any work of their own hands. I mean, it doesn't matter what it is. They'll just go for anything. Ridiculous. It's like, how can you take him seriously? Well, your god's a rat. Your god's a cow. Your god's this. It's nonsense. Absolute nonsense. And again, look, it all kind of is a mishmash of Buddhism and other kind of just Eastern mysticism and all this sort of rubbish as well. And, well, we're boiling it down a bit now, aren't we? Then you've got Christianity. And you've got the word of God. And when you really look at it, then you realise, wait a second, a lot of people that call themselves Christians don't actually follow the word. Where does it come from? Where does Christianity come from? The word of God, the Bible. If you're just going to pick and choose little bits of the Bible and make your own bits up, clearly a false religion, isn't it? And if you boil it down and boil it down and boil it down, well, we come down to a Bible-believing church, don't we? We come down to what does the Bible say? And that has to be your final authority, or you're just choosing a false religion. And if you're sitting here thinking, well, I already know this, Brother Ian, like I said, hopefully this will strengthen you. Hopefully, at least, you think, well, it's a good reminder of why you're right. Sometimes it's a nice pat on the back, isn't it? Yeah, at least I'm in the right place and I'm listening to the right book and I'm listening to the right thing. Because there are only two religions. One of two religions. Romans chapter 4 says, "What shall we say then, that Abraham, our father, as pertaining to the flesh hath found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness." Now, Abraham did some great works, didn't he? We've been going through the book of Genesis on a Wednesday evening. He did some great stuff, Abraham. He also did some funny stuff as well, by the way, okay? Did some questionable things, but he did some great works. But he was counted righteous due to his trust, his faith in the coming Christ. That's why he was righteous. It wasn't because of his works. It says in verse 4, "Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt." Now, this is someone who's trusting in their work. This is someone who's trying to work their way to heaven. Someone who is attempting in any way, shape or form to work their way to salvation is a debtor to the whole law. It says he is a reward, not record of grace, but of debt. He's a debtor to the whole law. Okay, you want to try and work your way to heaven with whatever list, whatever version of works you think you need to add to salvation. No. You don't get to choose. You don't get to choose which works you need to do. You need to do the whole lot then. You need to follow the law to the letter, by the T, from start to finish of your life and not make one error. And you can do that. Yeah, you're good enough to go to heaven. Anyone able to do that? No, because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It's nonsense. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. What a great verse of the Bible that is. How do you even know? I once tried to preach the gospel to a lady who believed in works, came to our, when we were in Southend previously, came to the old church building, and she said to me, I read her this verse. She said, yeah, but I haven't read the whole chapter. You just cherry-picked a verse. Let's read Romans 4 then. let's read Romans 3 as well. We could do the whole lot. And then she, okay, you made your point. And she didn't really want to hear the word of God. Now she did, she eventually seemed to get saved, but we didn't see her again, and that doesn't mean she wasn't saved. But however, it took a while and she was trying to argue with the word of God. But look, it's a pretty clear chapter of the Bible, isn't it? What a great chapter of the Bible. And this verse, to him that worketh not. Now, you could say, therefore, someone that tries to do nothing at all, someone that does nothing at all. You could say, look, someone here who literally does no good works in their whole life, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. It's his faith in Christ alone, which is the reason he's righteous in God's eyes. It then goes on in verse 6, even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. The title is The Two World Religions. And point number one, it's the other religion if past sins aren't forgiven. It's the other religion if past sins aren't forgiven. Verse 6 said, even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works. Okay? And this is works before, during, or after. Here we're going to look at past sins, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven. The true religion, the straight and narrow way, is that Jesus Christ's death, burial, and resurrection paid for all of your past sins. The whole lot. That means that you don't have to question whether what you did was too sick. Well, yeah, but I was pretty bad. I did do this. You don't have to question that. You don't have to go, yeah, but, because people like to accuse you, yeah, after what you were like when you were young. That sort of thing, right? But if you put your faith, your trust in Jesus Christ, you weren't reprobate, okay? Because some people get a bit hung up on this. Well, yeah, but could I have been? Do you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ's salvation? Do you have your faith alone in Christ alone? Do you believe that with your heart? Well, you're saved. You're saved. Because reprobates cannot truly believe. They can't believe. They can't really get saved. John 12:40 says, he hath blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, that they should not see with their eyes, nor understand with their heart, and be converted, and I should heal them. Okay, there are people, yeah, there are people that have been rejected by God, but if you put your faith in Jesus Christ, you're saved. Yeah, you're saved. Now, some will say, some believe that it's because they were so holy, that's why they're able to get saved. Heard people like that before? Well, you know, it's because I was already this or that. I was already a good person. I was already that. That's why I got saved. Nonsense. You ain't saved. Because you ain't trusting Christ. You're still trusting yourself. It's faith alone in Christ alone. And anyone condemning you for past sins is of the other religion. Okay? Anyone who thinks that you had to be a certain way before getting saved is of the other religion. It's all the other religion. Okay, there's only one way you're saved, and that's faith alone in Christ. There are no works before salvation. Okay, there's no such thing. Psalm 103 and verse 12 says, as far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. The old friend, family members, characters from your past claiming that you couldn't be a Christian, they believe in the other religion. Okay, they're the other religion. They don't understand the true religion. They still think there's some sort of works before salvation. And that should be an obvious one. But do you know what it is for us as well, that? It's a good reminder for us not to discard people that aren't obvious reprobates. Look, if someone's clearly a reprobate, okay? Someone's just a clear, open sodomite. Someone's just, you know, walking down the road, you know, 6'2" strapping geezer with lipstick on and a miniskirt. Okay, that guy is a reprobate. He ain't getting saved, okay? But however, the guy walking down the street with the stupid Baphomet on his t-shirt, there's a lot of people like that. I mean, isn't it just messed up? It doesn't mean that guy can't get saved. That's not, oh, well, he's gone too far, he won't get saved. Because that doesn't mean he's a reprobate. No, he might be. In fact, probably a lot of those guys with the Baphomet t-shirts maybe are. But it doesn't mean they are, does it? Okay, and that's the same in many, like, you can look at people and go, don't know about that one. Oh, I'll avoid that one, I'll go for that one. And we can all do that, can't we, sometimes? Especially if you're in the street, you sometimes pick and choose a bit. Look, sometimes you want to be led by the Spirit as well, you know, and you might think, okay, I'm being drawn, I really want to go over to that person, preach the gospel. But ultimately, we shouldn't just discard people because we think they're already this sort of person or that. Because ultimately, we're just judging them on their sin, aren't we? We're going, well, they look like they're probably too prideful. They look like, look, still try, right? Offer them. You'd be surprised. When you look back, those of you that have been soul winning for several years, look back and think some of the people that have got saved in the end and how they looked when you first approached them, you probably thought, yeah, I don't know how this is going to work out. You've knocked on the door, thought, oh, here we go. And then maybe half hour later, they're putting their faith in Jesus Christ. Okay, so the title is Two World Religions. Number one, it's the other religion if past sins aren't forgiven. Look, he can forgive those sins, can't he? He will forgive those sins if they put their faith in him, and obviously being able to put their faith in him. Number two, it's the other religion if present sins aren't forgiven. It's the other religion if present sins aren't forgiven. He said in verse 6, even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Now, you might go, isn't it the same thing? No, because there are damnable heretics all over this nation telling you have to repent of your sins. Anyone heard that? Yep, everyone's heard that. Everyone surely has heard someone come out with that sort of nonsense. You have to repent of your sins. You have to repent of certain sins. For example, you couldn't get saved if you're an alcoholic. You'd have to give up the alcohol first. You'd have to give up this sin first. You have to stop certain sins. You have to be willing to stop certain sins. You've got to at least try to stop certain sins. You've got to give up. You've got to do something. But that's not what the Bible says, does it? They'll say you have to turn. Now, some will go really subtle. Well, you've got to at least turn from your sins. What does that even mean? Can you quantify what turning from your sins means? No one really can. And whenever I've questioned these people about this, and many of us have done the same, you'll get an array of different answers, won't you? Well, you've got to at least acknowledge, blah, blah, blah. Look, everyone knows, look, you acknowledge you're a sinner to get saved, right? Okay, no one's questioning that. That's got nothing to do with repenting of sins, has it? So then they'll go, well, you've got to, like, at least try not to, or at least, you know, want to not to, or whatever else. Well, let's turn to Jonah 3, and I know this is old ground for many, because turning from your sins to get saved is works. And you know what it is? In fact, it's hard work. It's really hard work, because we all have a lot of sins. There's a lot of sins. If these people actually read their Bible, they'd realise that they're sinners, that every single person here is a sinner, and every single person will continue to sin, because there's a lot of sins. And no one's turning from their sins. Now, we do have to repent. If anyone's going, well, wait a second, the Bible does say repent. But that's referring to a change of mind about what you're trusting for salvation. What are you trusting? Because I repented of trusting in some sort of work salvation and put my faith in Jesus Christ. That's repentance. That's biblical repentance for salvation. You have to repent of your wicked work salvation. In fact, these people have to repent of their wicked work salvation trusting. But they don't repent of that, do they? Okay, that's the sad truth. Most of these people will not repent to get saved, yet they think they're repenting of their sins. They're going, oh, you don't believe in repentance. No, you haven't repented. You didn't repent biblically. You're still trusting in your works. You don't believe in repentance. You don't believe in the correct definition of repentance. You're still believing in your works. And if you're believing in your works, you're not saved. And if you're preaching that, you're a damnable heretic. And you might be a subtle damnable heretic, and you might be a very friendly damnable heretic. You might be a big smiling damnable heretic, but you're still a damnable heretic. In Jonah 3, the men of Nineveh, okay, they're hoping that God will change his mind and not physically punish the city. Verse 9 says, who can tell if God will turn and repent? Yeah, look, repentance isn't just talking about sin. God repents and God can't sin. He said, who can tell? It says, who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger that we perish not? And God saw their works that they turned from their evil way. So the repentance that God was doing, the changing of his mind from the physical punishment he's about to dole out, that was the repentance we're talking about here for salvation, the changing of your mind. What they're doing here, they're turning from their evil way. The Bible says in verse 10, his works. And God saw their works. This is the narrator, the Bible, the Holy Spirit here. This isn't a man that's being quoted. No, this is the Holy Spirit saying, and God saw their works that they turned from their evil way. So what's turning from your evil way according to the word of God? Works. And God repented of the evil. That's God's repentance. And evil here, talking about the punishment he was going to do, that he had said that he would do unto them, and he did it not. So according to verse 10, turning from evil ways, works. And back in Romans 4, someone who is trusting in works is in debt. If you're trusting that you turn from any sort of evil way, any sort of, I turn from this, at least I gave up this to get saved, I gave up this which is why I got saved, etc. So any of that stuff, you're trusting in works. He says in verse 4, now to him that worketh is a reward not reckoned of grace but of debt. Yeah, you want to add in your little, I had to at least turn away from this. I had to at least give up this sort of sin to get saved. I've changed my mind. I don't want to sin anymore. That's why I got saved. If that's what you're trusting in, well, good luck, because you're destined to do the whole law. You add one bit of works to your salvation, you're destined to do the whole law. Or is your trust in faith? Is your trust in Christ alone? Is it faith alone in Christ alone? Because if it is, you ain't got no debt to do any law. He said, now to him that worketh is a reward, not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. I say, you had any sort of turning, giving up, trying to stop, cutting out sin for salvation, you're saying Jesus Christ wasn't enough. You're saying his death, his burial, his resurrection, that wasn't enough. I've got to add a bit of myself. I've got to do a bit extra myself. I've earned it. I've had a part to play. I'm not accepting that I just needed a saviour. I'm not accepting that I'm basically just a sinner that needs a saviour. No. I added a bit to my salvation. And that's the broad way. That's the majority of people around the world, isn't it? In fact, the majority of people believe that it's not just a little bit, they're doing a lot for their salvation. But the subtle difference amongst, sadly, most of Christianity is that they believe that they've added something extra to salvation. And that ain't the gospel. It's another gospel which is not another. Because there's no other gospel. There's only one good news. The good news is it's grace through faith alone, in Christ alone. The title is Two World Religions. Number one, it's the other religion if past sins aren't forgiven. Number two, it's the other religion if present sins aren't forgiven. And number three, it's the other religion if future sins aren't forgiven. It's the other religion if future sins aren't forgiven. Verse 6 says, even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven. That's past. And whose sins are covered. That's present. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. That's future. He will not impute sin to your eternal account, because if he did, then you're still working your way to heaven. Okay? And this is probably the most common out of those that sound fairly biblical, because they'll say, I was born again. They'll go, I put my faith in Christ. They'll say, it's belief alone, grace through faith. They'll say all that stuff. These are ones that actually claim to believe the Bible. And then they'll go, but you can lose your salvation. Whoa, wait a second. So it's not grace through faith alone. Oh, so it wasn't faith in Christ alone. Now you've got a part to play still, haven't you? And there's a lot of those out there. The sacrifice wasn't enough. Jesus still needs you to do your bit. That's what they believe, don't they? You're not saved, but hoping to get saved is what they're saying, aren't they? How are you saved if you still don't believe that you're 100% saved? How are you saved if you still have to do something? And it really is as simple as that. But look, the reality of it is, and I know it sounds weird, but you look out at a church like this, and the reality of it is that there will be people in here that do deep down believe this still. That's the truth. There'll be people here that deep down believe in their heart that they still have to at least do something in the future. That they've at least, their good works are shining forth, and that's why they're staying saved. Or something along those lines. They will believe, well, as long as I didn't do that. As long as I didn't do this. And everyone has a different bar for that, don't they? Now, look, because a lot, we'll use the murder one, won't we? Because murder's a big sin. And some people have their line at murder. But there is no line, because all sin takes you to hell. The wages of sin is death. There is no line. One sin will take you to hell. It's Jesus Christ's death on the cross that has paid for that sin and all other sins. So you can't just make your line, oh, well, murder will take me to hell, but lying won't, but covetousness won't, but the wicked pride in my wicked heart that can't just trust Christ alone, oh, that won't take me to hell. It's only the big sin. Well, they believe that they're still hoping to get saved. However, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, because 1 Corinthians 15, well, you'll turn to 1 Corinthians 1, 1 Corinthians 15 talks of the gospel, and verse 2 says, by which also ye are saved. Present tense, ye are saved. 1 Corinthians 1:18, where you're turning, 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 18 says, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved. It is the power of God. You're saved when you put your faith in Jesus Christ. You're saved. If you could lose your salvation, you're not saved. And this would be wrong. Paul, writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, was lying when he said, which are saved. 2 Corinthians 2:15 says, For we are unto God a sweet savour of Christ in them that are saved and in them that perish. Because we're a sweet savour to Christ. In them that are saved. Are you saved? Have you put your faith in Christ alone? You're saved. You are saved. You're not being saved. You're not going to get saved. You're not working on being saved. You are saved. Turn to John 5, where Jesus makes it as clear as day that you're saved that moment you trust Christ. The moment you put your faith in Christ, you're saved. But if you don't believe you are, you haven't put your faith in Christ. So yeah, you're not saved. And any of these people thinking they can lose their salvation, they've got to do this, they've got to do that, they've got to maintain, they've got to at least get baptized, they've got to do anything like that, they ain't saved. Because they didn't trust Christ. They didn't have that moment when they got saved because they still haven't got 100% trust in Christ alone. John 5:24, Jesus Christ said, verily, verily, truly, truly. He's making it really clear. Look, not that anything he says isn't truth, but he's going, look, truly, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life. You have it. How could you have it if it wasn't everlasting? You don't have it then. It's not everlasting. He said, have everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation. He said, you'll never go to hell. You've put your faith in me. You will never go to hell. You shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Is passed. Is. The second you put your faith in Christ, you put your trust in Christ alone, you pass from death unto life. And if you didn't believe that, you still need to put your faith in Christ. If you don't believe that, you still need to put your faith in Christ. Anyone who believes that you could lose your salvation in any way, shape or form, any excuse, any reason that you can lose your salvation is not saved. They're not saved and they need to get saved. It's as simple as that. You, in your mind, you're like, yeah, but what if I did this? One will be like, well, look, what if I kill myself? Get saved. Get saved. What if I did something really bad? Get saved then. Get saved and then you won't lose your salvation. It's as simple as that. And if you still, yeah, no, I'm not having it, Brother Ian. No, got to be away. No, my old church told me, my whatever, I've heard, I'm not. Look, you're wicked as hell because the Bible's clear. Bible's clear. If you're sitting there, reject the word of God, reject the word of God, reject the word of God, reject the word of God. he's going to reject you. Because look, you're sitting in a church like this, hearing the gospel preached loud and clear amongst people, you're going out soul, you're hearing this, you're still trusting yourself. That's wicked. Amen. That's wicked. You think you can give the gift back? You heard that one before. Where'd they come out with this stuff? Well, yeah, but you can give the gift back. How'd you give the gift back? Why would you give the gift back? What are you talking about? But what they mean is you give it back by not following God enough. What they mean is you're giving it back because you're not being good enough. They're not going that you're literally God to God account. I'm going to give you that back now because I don't want to go to heaven. I want to go to hell. No. What they actually mean is you're giving it back by not following the list of commands that they've decided you've got to follow, depending on what wicked church it is that's trying to teach this stuff. What specific false prophet list has been made up in their church, yeah? That you have to make Jesus Lord of your life. What does that mean? That means I've got to follow him. That means he's got to be Lord of my life. That means you ain't saved because you're not trusting in faith alone in Christ alone. You're trusting in following Jesus. You're trusting in your action to follow him, not put your trust in him. It's the other religion. It's back to self-justification. It's back to the works of men's hands, isn't it? And that's the difference. What do you trust? Do you trust Christ alone or do you trust your own works? Do you trust your previous works? Do you trust your current works? Do you trust your future works? Or do you trust Jesus Christ? Go forward to John chapter 11 and verse 25. John chapter 11 and verse 25. It says in verse 25, Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. You believe in him? You were dead, but yet shall you live. And whosoever, that's anyone, right? Liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Unless they do something really bad. Unless they, you know, don't do whatever I'm not doing because, you know, I'm the man at the front of the church and I'll make my own list of things that I think means that you're saved or not. No? Whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Do you believe this? I hope you believe this. And if you believe this, well, man, you need to tell some people, don't you? Because that's pretty easy, isn't it? In fact, that's so easy, anyone can do it. All you got to do is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't it something to tell everyone about? Because what are they all believe? What's the other religion? It's a broad way. It's a broad way that leadeth to destruction. It's a wide gate. And the vast majority of this world is on their way down there. So many of these people that think they're so free-thinking, don't they? They think they're so like, yeah, well, I don't believe religion. I don't believe that. And then when you really get to the bottom of it, they'll say something along the lines of, well, I think I'm a good enough person. No, you just believe the broad way, you moron. You believe what everyone else believes. That they're somehow good enough. They're somehow doing something to get themselves to heaven. How about you actually be a bit individual? How about you actually really put your faith in Christ alone and not yourself? How about that? And if you don't believe this, it's the other religion. And here's the thing, there's only one place that the other religion is taking you. John chapter 3, if you were in John, just flick back to John chapter 3. And verse 36, it makes it clear, there's only one way of salvation. John 3:36 says, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. You have it, it's yours. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. God's angry, fuming. What on earth? How could you reject the Lord Jesus Christ and trust yourself, you wicked devils? I mean, how many people? They're everywhere. How do they think they're good enough? So I like to say this to Muslims sometimes. They just go, yeah, but come on. Do you think you or I really are just going to go up there and go, yeah, I knew I was good enough. Cheers, mate. What are you talking about? How on earth are any of us going to justify ourselves in front of God, in front of the Almighty God? And do you know one of the reasons people do? Because they've basically completely downgraded. They've completely changed who God really is. So people look at God like this sort of, like we'd say many times, the image that we see of Jesus now, the fake image, the fake God. And no, people bury their face in the floor in the Bible when they're in front of the Lord, don't they? I am not worthy. And that's, and when you have that attitude, and when you really have that attitude, you'd understand there's only one way, isn't there? It's the Saviour. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, isn't it? But fools despise wisdom and instruction, don't they? And he said, the wrath of God abideth on him. And you believe in any works at all, you will burn down there. You'll be with the ecumenical gang down there. Yeah, you can all join together with your work salvation. You'll burn there with the Muslims, the Jews, the Jehovah's Witnesses, the morons, I mean the Mormons. seriously though, because you are, aren't you? That's the truth. You'd be down there with them, patting each other on the back. Do you think they're really doing that down there? Do you know what they're doing? They're screaming out. In fact, they're begging that someone will go to their families' houses and teach their families the true way and tell them and preach them the gospel. And the reality of it is that all these people are down there together. Yeah, there is. They are all ecumenical together because it is the other religion. And they'll be all down there burning in their other religion. And by the way, that includes the fake Baptists as well. It includes all those Baptist Union clown churches out there with their wicked work salvation, subtly or not. And everyone else that use their free will to choose work salvation, that's what they've done. Look, we all have free will in life. Yeah, look, some people have a rougher start than others. Some people get indoctrinated young by some wicked parents. That's not God's fault. They've chosen to do that. Those parents have chosen to do that. That's their fault. And look, but those kids, those people, as they grow up, they still have a choice. We all have a choice. You can either choose the truth or you can choose the other religion. And that's the only way. Look, Abraham believed in the coming Christ. And that's the only way that anyone's ever been able to get in there. Don't listen to these clowns that try and teach you work salvation in the Old Testament, work salvation coming in the future. And no. The only way anyone's ever been able to get into heaven is by faith alone in Christ alone, whether it was a coming Christ, whether it's the Christ who was there at the time, or whether it's the Christ that's already been come, died, been buried and risen again. Okay, it's faith in Christ alone. John 14:6 says, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. No man. You cannot get to the Father but by the Lord Jesus Christ. It's impossible. You've never been able to. You'll never be able to. There's only one way. And that's why Abraham is up there waiting for us. Look back in Romans 4. Look at verse 21. Romans 4 and verse 21 says, in being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. Look, he knew that was going to happen. He knew, he believed the gospel, and therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now, it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offences and was raised again for our justification. And that's the true religion, isn't it? And it's the only one that makes sense. The title is The Two World Religions. Number one, it's the other religion if past sins aren't forgiven. Number two, it's the other religion if present sins aren't forgiven. And number three, it's the other religion if future sins aren't forgiven. And if you believe that all three of those are forgiven and you put your faith in Jesus Christ, well, congratulations, because that is the only way you're going to get to heaven, right? That is the true religion. Not the other one. The title was Two World Religions. I hope that's been a blessing to you. On that, we're going to finish in a word of prayer. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the truth of the Bible, Lord, the gospel, the just clear verses on salvation, Lord. Just so much of the Bible just makes it so crystal clear so that we don't have to have our heads turned by verses taken out of context, verses which aren't talking about salvation, others which the false prophets will use. Help us to just be strong in that, Lord, to just be strong in our faith that there are only two religions, Lord, that however you try and add works in whatever way you do to salvation, it's the other religion, Lord. Help us to just remember that, to be strong with that, and help us to go out and preach that, Lord. Help us to encourage people to get saved. Help us to just be willing to preach the gospel to anyone who wants to hear it who's clearly not, beyond that point of being able to hear it, Lord. Help us to find people out there this afternoon, get many people saved, return for this evening service. In Jesus' name, we pray all of this. Amen.